Is everyone having a good morning? Yeah, enjoying the nice weather out there this weekend, this week? Oh, yeah, all right. Very good. Well, it's been a good week for us as well. I don't know if you've noticed, but we've been doing some work outside with some of the landscaping, and so we buried some gutter, I don't even know what the right word is. We buried the gutters, praise the Lord. Thank you to Paul and Dean and Brother Dave, who isn't here, but we did that this week. And so, yeah, so this Saturday we're having a work day too, and so if you guys are free, coming out and hang out with us, I think it's going to be a good time. So, you know, we've been doing this series entitled Double Take, and Double Take is a delayed reaction to a surprising or significant situation after an initial failure to notice anything unusual. And so we've been talking about it for the last few weeks, and so we're going to do the same today. And so if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn with me to John chapter 21. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 14. I don't know if you've ever had a double take in your life before where you saw something and you looked at something and then you looked at it again and you saw something different the second time. Like, I almost feel like every time I read the Bible, it's like that, to be honest. I feel like, you know, sometimes I'll read a passage of scripture and then I'll read it again and suddenly something sticks out to me that didn't stick out before. Anyone else where it's like that, where it's like, man, I've read the story 1,000 times and I read it again and God's word is so, it's true. It's so living and active. Like, you know, you could be reading something and, you know, maybe you're going through some hardships and you read it again and suddenly the Lord begins to minister to you from the text. Or maybe you're, you know, you just got a raise at work and you know, things are going good and you're excited and you read a passage again and suddenly it comes alive and you just give thanks to the Lord because of his goodness and his grace. And you just give thanks to the Lord because of the wonderful things that he's done. You start reading the Psalms and you start reading the praises and you just get into it and you hear the worship song and it's like, I've heard Shout to the Lord before, but today, you know, that song was written 30 years ago. Today, listening to I'm going to sing Shout to the Lord and I'm just going to get super excited. Because the Lord is good and the Lord is faithful and his word does not return void. And so, well, like, I don't know, like when I read the Bible, even though the series is entitled Double Take, I feel like when I read the Bible, it's like almost every time that I read the Bible, the Lord just uses it and speaks to me in different ways. And so I'm praying that the Lord speaks to you in a different way today. This is probably for some of you, this might be a new story. For some of you, it might be a story that you've heard many times before. But I'm just praying that the Lord really opens up your hearts and your minds to whatever he has for you today. And so in John chapter 21, John's found in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it says this: afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. He said it happened this way: Simon Peter, Thomas also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out fishing, Simon Peter told them. And all the fishermen said, wow, okay, never mind. I'm going fishing, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Can you say they caught nothing? Man, they caught nothing. That's depressing if you're a fisherman, if you go out and you catch nothing. So they went out and they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, or actually, if you might have another translation where he actually calls them children. Children, haven't you any fish? It's almost like he's mocking them. No, they answered. He said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. When the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. And the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals, and there was fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat, dragged the nets ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him who you are. They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Lord, again, we just pray that your word will go out and speak to us this morning, Father. Praying specifically this morning for maybe people who have, maybe they've had disappointment, or specifically for people today who maybe their expectations have not been met, Father. And I pray that this word will be an encouragement to them. And I pray this morning that they will learn to be patient and that they will learn to know that only you can satisfy. Man, we can go off and we can search many different things. We can try to fill our hearts with all the things that the world has to offer. But God, only you can satisfy. Only you can bring fulfillment in our lives, Father. And so today, again, I specifically pray for those who maybe they're feeling discouraged or disappointed. And I pray that your word will speak to us, God. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. So Jesus had been crucified. He had died. He had been buried. And things weren't exactly how the disciples were hoping. It's interesting because when you read even at the Last Supper in one of the gospel accounts, they were still arguing over who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God. And they had this idea that Jesus was going to overthrow the Romans and establish his own kingdom, and it hadn't really happened that way. You know, I don't know if you've ever experienced something like that where you think God's going to work a certain way in your life, and he doesn't work the way that you think he's going to work. You know, when I was younger, I was very convinced that I was going to go out and find myself a good Minnesotan woman who would carry me off into the woods, and big Norwegian woman. And praise the Lord, Aaron, you're not here, but you didn't meet my expectations. No, I'm just kidding. So I had expectations of man, that sounds really bad. I had expectations of the way I thought God was going to work. And I remember when I was younger, I had expectations too. Remember when the Lord called me to ministry, I had expectations of where I thought he was going to lead me and where I thought he was going to guide me. And I thought, well, I knew exactly what he was going to do and exactly where he was going to take me. And it's interesting because his ways are different than our ways, you know, and his timing is different than our timing. And so here are the disciples, and they really thought that he was going to overthrow the Romans and he was going to establish his kingdom. And that hadn't really happened. And so seven of them, this is kind of amazing, seven of them. So there was 12 disciples and seven of them. So over 50%, almost 60% of them were together talking about the events of the past week, and they were discouraged. And so we have Simon, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus. I heard a pastor call him T. Diddy. We have Nathaniel. We have James and John. And then a couple other disciples that are in the mix there. But it's kind of an interesting collection of disciples when you think about it. Peter had been called Satan. He was the guy who was constantly putting his foot in his mouth. And he attacked someone and cut his ear off. He had denied Christ three times. And you can just see throughout the gospel that he was passionate, but that he, man, maybe he didn't fully understand what was going on. He was passionate, but he was throwing his passion in odd directions. And then you had Thomas, who was known as the doubter. I mean, when you think about, you know, your name and your descriptor, it's interesting that you have someone where your descriptor is the doubter. And then you had James and John, who were dubbed the sons of thunder, so they probably had some anger issues. And then, of course, we had the other two, and these other two weren't even significant enough to mention. So we have Peter, Thomas, James, John, and a couple of other guys. And they were together, and they were together, and they were discouraged. And I guess when I read this passage, I kind of wonder if you've ever been discouraged, if life maybe didn't quite turn out the way that you'd hope. You thought God would work a specific way, and he didn't. And I think sometimes having good friends is a good thing. Amen? Like having good people in your life is a good thing. But having godly friends and godly counsel is a blessing. You know what I'm talking about? Like when you go and you get with the right people, good things can happen. But if you're with the wrong people and doing the wrong things, and I don't know, think bad things can happen. And this was them. They were together and they were discouraged. And so in his discouragement, Peter said, you know what, I'm going to go fishing. And fishing sounds like a great remedy for discouragement, doesn't it? In fact, I think fishing is a wonderful remedy for discouragement. I think fishing is, man, you go out there and you're in the elements and you're able to see the water and the waves lapping against the boat. And fishing is interesting because it's kind of a mixture of of peace because you're sitting out there in the water, but it's also a mixture of excitement because you're not entirely sure what you're going to catch. You know, when you cast the line out, you're not entirely sure what you're going to bring in. And so Peter says, I'm going fishing. Kind of sounds like a good idea to go out and to go fishing and to just kind of take your mind off of things. But I think this situation is really more than what meets the eye. In fact, if we take a double take, and again, a double take is a delayed reaction to a surprising or significant situation after an initial failure to notice anything unusual, if we take a double take of the situation, we see that Simon wasn't new to fishing. In fact, he was a fisherman by trade. In fact, merely 3 years earlier, Simon was at the same sea. He was doing the same thing, and he was with some of the same people. So Simon, 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, was at the same sea with the same people, and he was fishing. And ironically, he had fished all night and he had caught nothing. And Jesus, 3 years ago, and it's almost like a mirror of something that had happened 3 years ago. Jesus, 3 years ago, had gone onto the boat and had told him to cast his nets. And 3 years before, they caught such a large number of fish. I don't know if you see the connections here, that they had to call other fishermen, their friends, to come and help. And there was so much fish that the boats began to sink. And if you look at the passage in Luke chapter 5, verses 8 through 11, this was Peter's response 3 years ago to what Jesus was doing in his life 3 years ago. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For me and all my companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner. Again, some of the same people, same place, same location. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Can you say, fish for people? From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore. They left everything, and they followed him. It was here at the Sea of Galilee 3 years ago that Peter got his calling. And it was 3 years ago that that Peter decided to follow Jesus. He had listened to Jesus' teachings. He had seen his miracles. He had been there at the Transfiguration. He had experienced the resurrection of Lazarus. He was more than just a follower. In fact, if you look at the passages, if you look at the Gospels, he was one of Jesus' closest friends. He was one of the inner three. And now, 3 years later, so 3 years before he gets the calling, 3 years before he experiences the miraculous catches, 3 years before he experienced the catch, and I feel like it's interesting that in response to Jesus, he says, "Go away from me, I'm a sinful man." You know, I feel like when we come into an interaction with the Lord, there is repentance that takes place. Amen? Like some people say, "Oh, listen, Jesus, it's just about gumdrops, and it's just about cotton candy, and it's just about love, and it's just about pink and the color yellow and the color purple." But you see, when people come into a real interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a heart change that takes place. There's a repentance that takes place. There's a realization of the sin that's in your life. Amen? And that's what we're praying for in church. Like, when people come in, we're praying for an interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We're praying that when they come in, that they come into a relationship with the Lord, and that the Lord takes them and changes them and transforms them. He doesn't leave them where they're at, but he takes them somewhere new. Amen? Like, there's a transformation that takes place. And so Peter had this interaction with the Lord, and his life was changed. And now, 3 years later, in his disappointment and in his discouragement, it looks like he's going back to his old profession. He's going back to his old career. He was supposed to be waiting. In fact, if you cross-reference these verses with Matthew chapter 28, he was supposed to be waiting at the mountain, but instead of waiting at the mountain, he decided to go to the sea. And so he's supposed to go to the mountain, but instead of going to the mountain, he goes to the sea. And it's interesting that the text uses his name Simon, because it's referring to his old name, a name that Jesus had renamed him Peter. And Jesus had told him to wait, but he was impatient and he was impulsive. And instead of waiting, he goes fishing. He goes back to what he knew. he goes back to what he had did. And also, just another interesting note is Peter was a leader. And when he leaves, he just doesn't go by himself, but he takes six other people with him. He takes Thomas, he takes Nathaniel, he takes James, he takes John, he takes two others with him as well. And I think it also speaks to the power of influence. If you're with the right people, they can pull you in the right direction. If you're with the wrong people, again, they can pull you in the wrong direction. And I think this is especially true when you're feeling discouraged, when you're feeling like maybe God hasn't met your expectations or life has been rough. I think it's important that we as followers of Jesus find godly counsel and good counsel. It's important who your friends are when you're discouraged. Are they influencing you towards the Lord? It's important who your leaders and who your elders are. Are they influencing you towards the Lord? Who do you call when you're feeling discouraged, or who do you reach out to when you're feeling down? When you experience setbacks and you experience delays, who are you leaning into? People can be instruments of life, or people can be pathways to death. And so here Simon is, and he's discouraged. And he's supposed to be fishing for men. He's not supposed to be fishing for fish. But he isn't fishing for people right now. He's going back to his old boat. He's going back to his old net. He's going back to his old gear. He's going back to his old spot. And he's doing the thing that he had done before the Lord had called him. And when I read this passage of Scripture, I just got to wonder to myself, man, how many of us are like Peter? How many of us have been discouraged with the Lord's direction? How many of us have been discouraged because of our setbacks? How many of us have been discouraged with our delays? God didn't work out the way that he thought he would. God didn't do the things that he thought he would do. He was passionate once, but now it had been a couple weeks, and he had now kind of lost his fervor. Who's feeling discouraged today? Who's maybe feeling some setbacks? You know? You think everything's good and then the basement floods. You think everything's good and then the wife misbehaves. You think everything's good. Sorry, Aaron, don't listen to this. Do not post this online. I'm going to have to seek marriage counseling with Pastor Nate after this. You think everything's good and the car breaks down. You think everything's good. You think this is God's plan. This is God's purpose. This is where he's called me. And then you just hit a wall and then you're feeling discouraged. Here's Peter. He thought God was speaking a certain way. He thought Jesus was going to do a certain thing. And then he just, Jesus just wasn't doing what he thought he was going to do. And so it'd been a couple weeks. And so I know I'm supposed to go to the mountain, but you know what? I'm just going to go to the sea. It's what I'm comfortable with. It's what I do. The sea is so exciting. You know, it's peaceful. I can make some money. Who doesn't like to make money? Praise the Lord. Make some money. I can buy some happiness with my money. I know Jesus called me to be a fisher of men, but it's been a couple weeks now. It's been a couple weeks. Come on. I got time. I got things to do. I got people to see. I got places to go. I got fish to catch. I got whatever they did back then, camels to shoe. I don't even know, whatever. I got things to do, and God hasn't moved in my time frame, and so I'm just kind of upset. And I don't know if you've experienced that before, where you're upset with the delays of the Lord. You're upset with the plans of the Lord. You're discouraged. You feel like you've been in a setback. And I have two thoughts for you this morning. And when I mention the second thought, you can come up, Cassandra. I forgot to tell you. So the first thought for you this morning is, in your discouragement, if you're feeling discouraged, and maybe this message isn't for everyone, but in your discouragement, I want to encourage you to be patient for the Lord. Be patient. You know, it's easy to follow Jesus when there's signs and wonders. It's easy to follow Jesus when there's a big crowd. It's easy to follow Jesus when he did the thing with the thing and the guy's hand grew out. It's easy to follow Jesus when he did the thing and the thing and then the water turned into wine. It's easy to follow Jesus when he feeds the crowd and then you go up and you pick the basketfuls of leftover pieces. It's easy to follow Jesus when people are getting healed and when you see miracles and when you see signs and you see wonders and you see him like totally owning these religious leaders who are trying to put him in a trap and he owns them and you're like, that's my boy. You know, it's easy to follow Jesus when things are going good, but when things slow down and it's been a couple weeks and now I'm not sure of it any longer and so I'm just going to go back to what's comfortable. I want to encourage you. I feel like some people they've been passionate followers of Jesus and they've been pursuing him for a while and they've been going hard and they've been going rough. You know, they've just been really pushing and they've been pushing and pushing and pushing and now they're growing weary and now they're growing tired. And I feel like the Lord is telling you to be patient. In fact, in scripture it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Like I think God is speaking to us this morning and he's telling you to be faithful and that God is going to be true to his promises. God's timing is not the same as our timing. Like sometimes I feel like, again, I want things to happen now. Like, okay, so just like Peter, okay, so he died, he was resurrected, okay, cool, now it's time, but it's been a couple weeks. God's timing is not the same as our timing, and God's plans are often never the same as our plans. You know, I make plans, and I make plans, and I make plans, and it's like, oh, they're almost never the same as, but be patient, be patient. Be patient and wait upon the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he turned to me. And he heard my cry. And he reached down and he lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And it says that he gave me a firm place to stand. And he put a new song in my lips. Be patient. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The Lord will be faithful to his promises. When you look at the passage of Scripture, Jesus appeared to them at exactly the right time. They faced challenges, they faced setbacks, they faced delays, but trusting God's perfect timing can help you develop your patience. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Be patient. Be patient. I hate that. I really do hate to be patient because I'm someone that I want things now and I want them right away. And I like to, you know, when I go someplace, if I have to wait longer than, you know, 10 minutes to get my food, I start complaining. But God, I believe, is telling us this morning that in your delays and in your setbacks and in your trials, whatever, to be patient. The Lord will be faithful to his promises to you. His promises are yes and amen. Be patient for the Lord. The second thought I have for you this morning is that only Jesus can satisfy the longing of your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy it. Peter says, you know what? I know what I can do. You know what? I know what I can do to feel better. Jesus hasn't come like he said he was going to. Jesus hasn't, you know, moved. I guess it's only been 2 weeks, but he hasn't. I'm waiting, and I know what I can do to satisfy my soul. I can go back to what I did before. I'm going fishing. I'm going to go fishing, and I'm fishing is exciting because fishing, you get to see the sea, and you get to see the water. Man, it's peaceful, but there's also some mystery in what you're going to catch. For him, it was a way of making money. It was a way of comfort. But man, it's like I'm gonna go do this to bring me some satisfaction. I love what Jesus asked him in verse number 15, or verse number 5. He said, friends, haven't you any fish? That word friends, I think the NIV is trying to be nice. It's really children. Children, haven't you any fish? You haven't caught any fish? You haven't caught anything? You haven't caught anything? Man, we look for every vice and everything to satisfy our souls. Man, if I just get enough stuff, if I just get enough money, if I just gain enough power, then I'll be satisfied. But have you ever noticed that when you finally get the thing that you think will bring you satisfaction, how the satisfaction is very limited? Like, you're only happy for a little bit of time. You know, it's like, when I finally get the raise at work, when I finally get a little bit more money, then I'll be happy. Then I can keep the kids happy, and I keep the wife happy, and keep pay all the bills. You know, when I finally get that promotion, when I finally get that that 2023 Sea-Doo jet ski, I know that I'll be happy, because then I can take it out on the water. I can have a great time. We think that those things can bring us happiness. We think that those things can bring us joy. I love what the writer of Ecclesiastes says. He said, I went out and I denied myself no pleasure. I did whatever I wanted. I bought everything. I had every type of relationship you can think of. I had everything my eyes could see. I literally bought everything my eyes could see. Everything that the world had to offer, I took it, and it became mine. He said, I realized that once I got it, it was meaningless. It was meaningless. It brought happiness, but only it brought happiness for a short time. It was temporary. Only Jesus can satisfy the longings of your soul.